Morning, everybody. Welcome inside. Well, if you listen real close, you can hear the wind howling outside. So, so I wish all the mothers Happy Mother's Day. That's what we're going to talk about today. So part of the weight work we do is people lie, we're to fight for the truth, to fight against nonsense and the ways of the world that are counter to the way God would have us live. And some of the things we tell ourselves are not really grounded in truth. They're just things we say to make ourselves feel good about the things we either do or don't do. These aren't really big lies, but they are ones that affect how we act and how we treat those around us. So on this Mother's Day, we're going to work against the myth, the idea, that mom already knows how much I appreciate her. You see, we make excuses for not telling or showing our mothers that we love them. And my mic just went, died. Anyway, we say things like, well, she already knows, or she doesn't tell me she loves me, or she hurt me when I was younger, or, we just don't talk that much anymore. Or I told her last year that I loved her, and it's just understood between us. If you read 1 Kings, you see how Solomon treated his mother. And it's a pretty good example, I think, of what we all should do as we expect of ourselves and our children. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19, you read this. When Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah, the king stood up to meet her, bowed down to her, and sat down on his throne. He had a throne brought for the king's mother, and she sat down on his right hand. So even Solomon, the most powerful man in the world at that time, stood when his mother entered the room. He bowed to her. He had a throne brought in for her to sit at his right hand. All of these things, and the right hand is a place of honor. All of these things were a way of showing his love for her and to honor her in the sight of others. This isn't because Bathsheba was a great mother or a perfect wife or even a perfect person. I mean, we've all read about Bathsheba's past. She made mistakes, and she had likely at some point neglected her son. She had likely failed in every way possible, one time or another, to be the person that God had called her to be. So today, as we read through Proverbs 31, if you're a woman, a wife, or a mother, understand it's not meant to show you what you should do, or what you should be, or to tell you where you're falling short. This passage isn't a mirror meant to hold up in front of you to shame you. It's instead supposed to be a guide, an aspirational example of what we want to be. It's not a checklist for fathers or husbands or children to use against the women in their lives. Because if you're a male, there are a whole lot of checklists within Scripture that you don't want me to go through. That's not something any of us want. So, ladies, don't let this message depress you. My hope is that it will help all of us to express our appreciation to our mothers today. She may live hundreds of miles away. She may live within your own home. But mothers need to hear this. To believe otherwise is a myth. So I want you to be able to verbalize with your mouth what you really feel in your heart. Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Jesus knew the value of speaking words of affirmation into the people around him. He was good at it. He was good when it came to expressing encouragement. And on countless occasions, he would speak directly and personally to encourage people. Listen to some of these specific words that he said to people, to individuals. And you know, just when I read these, you'll remember the occasions where he speaks them. Jesus said, woman, you have great faith. Well done, good and faithful servant. Today you will be with me in paradise. This poor widow was put in more than all the others. Neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. Today salvation has come to this house. Now I guarantee you those words meant a great deal to those individuals. And even more so because of the one who was saying them. And the same is true when you speak encouragement to your mother. Whether she's 35 or 85, the tendency is always the same. The tendency is to, for all of us, is to magnify the imperfections and to downplay the strengths. But please don't do that. Those attributes that we can take for granted need to be affirmed. They need to be noticed and acknowledged. The key verse in this description in Proverbs of the perfect woman, if you want to call it that, is Proverbs 31, verse 28. It says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all." That's what we want to do today. We want to call our moms blessed. We want them to know that we're praising them and that we appreciate them. And whatever you're setting, I hope that somehow today you'll allow God's Spirit to minister to you through the words that are found in Proverbs 31. The first thing I'd like to talk to you about is character. And many of you will honestly be able to say this to your mom. Proverbs 31:10, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies." Integrity, honesty, those are the characteristics that stand out for a woman of character. And when you think about your mom, are there some characteristics that you see that show that she has a walk with Jesus Christ? That she is a person who has a golden reputation that people look up to and they say, you know, there's something about your mom. There's something your mom has that I wish I had, or I wish my mom had, right? Maybe it's character, because when you think of character, you think of your mom. Oftentimes you think about your contrast, the contrast between your behavior and how it is your mom wanted you to live. Tony Campolo wrote that a long time ago, that in his teenage years, he was terrified by this visiting pastor's depiction of Judgment Day. And not so much by what he said or what he described, he said, because the guy just said, one day God would show us a movie of every single sinful thought, word, or action that we had ever committed. And Tony sat there, he says, okay, fine. But then the pastor said, and your mom will be there to watch it as well. And that terrified him. Mothers have that power over us. They can scold with a glance and change your decision with a word. That character needs to be passed along to the children. For you to be a woman who is noble and trustworthy, who is a powerful witness for Christ, there has never been a perfect mom, nor will there ever be a perfect mom. But if your mom is a woman of character, let her know. That's a great starting place. Proverbs 31:11 and 12 tells us, "Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." The best way to be a good mother is to be a good wife. And I know some people will bristle at that idea. This idea is fleshed out a bit more when you look a little further in this passage in Proverbs 31:23. It says, "Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land." Perhaps part of the reason he's respected in the city is because he's respected in the home. By being a good wife, your witness for Jesus Christ is enhanced. So moms, remember that there are eyes watching you. They're watching your marriage. The example you set in your marriage will be remembered and replicated by your children. You need to think now. You need to think now for later. And this is sometimes called having double vision, being able to see things that are important today and understanding their importance for tomorrow. There has never been a perfect mom. There will never be a perfect mom. But if your mom has been faithful and a loving wife, then compliment her on that. Proverbs 31, verses 13 through 19 reads, "She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. This is not a woman who is not engaged in life and expecting someone else to take care of things. This woman is involved in all aspects of the life of her family. You know, according to a pre-Mother's Day study released a few years ago, they studied workplace compensation and they released some statistics. The survey calculated a mom's market value by studying pay levels for the top 10 job titles with duties that a typical mother performs, ranging from housekeeper to daycare center teacher to van driver, psychologist, chief executive officer. In this 2018 study, it was found if a stay-at-home mom could be compensated in dollars rather than personal satisfaction and unconditional love, she'd rake in about $135,000 a year. I know everybody's thinking, Robin's over here saying, hey, where's mine? But that's a pretty realistic amount for all the moms do. It's tough to be a mom. I've been told that numerous times by different moms in my life. There are so many things to do. Moms serve in a ministry all of their own and unique to their position. Later in this passage, Solomon says, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. In other words, she's resourceful. There has never been a perfect mom. There will never be a perfect mom. But if your mom works hard, then make certain that you let her know. Proverbs 31:20 reads this way, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Some of you could tell story after story of how your mother helps out other people and reaches out to them. Proverbs 31:21 says, when it snows, she has no fear of her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. I have been blessed to have a great mom, a great wife, and I had a great mother-in-law. They all took care of what needs had to get done. And they put their focus on others and not on themselves. That's compassion, not just in what they do, but in what they say. So moms, choose your words wisely, regardless of the age of your children. They don't necessarily need sarcasm or condescending tone all the time. They do need your compassion and your encouragement. Proverbs 15:4 says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Years ago, Bill Glass was an evangelist. He used to travel around, and he was speaking to a group of about 1,000 inmates in a prison. And he asked this simple question, how many of you had parents who told you that one day you would end up in prison? Nearly every one of the inmates raised their hand. A mother's words are powerful, and often they're prophetic, even when they don't want them to be. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Mothers, you decide that you're going to be in the construction business and not in the demolition business. There has never been a perfect mom. There will never be a perfect mom. But if your mom shows compassion, make certain you let her know. Proverbs 31:25 says this, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Do you hear the phrase? She can laugh at the days to come. To be a good mom, you have to have a sense of humor. Solomon says that his mom watches over the affairs of her household. Moms can have this sixth sense. They know when to come down hard on people, when to extend grace. They can use that long-distance eye that I talked about earlier to see when trouble is brewing in a friendship or when an extra dose of attention or encouragement needs to be distributed to those in her household. early on in the lives of their children, these moms try to bring joy into their kids' lives. You say, how can that be done? Well, if your home is a haven that they look forward to coming to, it doesn't matter what the size of the home is. It doesn't matter how much it costs. Homes are a haven for kids. Not just yours, they can be a haven for your kids' friends as well. It's a safe place. That's the way the home should be. It's filled with laughter and enthusiasm, with kidding and joking and fun. Why? Because their future is secure and it's settled, and they're a household of faith. And moms, your parenting in the short term will bring that joy in your homes when they get older. But the biggest joy comes from knowing that your kids are believers, that they are walking with the Lord. In John's third letter, in verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. No greater joy. That's it, to know that they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So moms, please don't relate that to their teachers or their summer camp advisors or coaches at school or anybody else. Don't pass that responsibility off to their school or their youth pastor or their pastor or their grandparents, their uncles, aunts. You must see this as your responsibility, to teach them of Christ and to model Him for them. So moms, look for opportunities to spiritually and verbally bring joy into your children's lives and to make that home a place where they want to go to. Sometimes it's not so much the big things that moms do, it's the little things. Proverbs 31:28-29 reads, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, when he praises her, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. There's never been a perfect mom, and there never will be. But if your mom possesses joy, a happiness that comes from within, make certain that you thank her for that quality. And this is the most important. It is the most important. Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You and I, we're all going to age. I almost said we're all going to get old, but it's a bad word now about getting older. We're all going to age, but have you noticed that those who are more concerned with what they look like on the inside, do you notice that they age a bit more gracefully than the rest? This is the biggest responsibility that you have as a mom, that we have as parents. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. I love that passage because of the way that the Apostle Paul gives credit to where it's due. Even though he's been Timothy's spiritual mentor, Paul recognizes that it was the faith that was passed along to Timothy long before he came on the scene. And Paul is quick to credit Timothy's mom and grandmother for their spiritual heritage that they passed on. Moms, your job is not to get so consumed with doing all these things for your kids that you lose sight of what is most important. Your job, your responsibility is to live such a godly life that somehow your kids will want what you have spiritually. So it's not your faith that they have, it's their faith that they embrace because they have seen it in the life of their mother. They have seen a mom who finds her sustenance and strength through her personal walk with Jesus Christ. It is a myth to think mom already knows how I appreciate her. She needs to hear it, to see it, and to feel it from you. Solomon underscores what your responsibility is to your mom in Proverbs 31:31. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. There has never been a perfect mom. There never will be. But hear me when I say that if you are going to have just one of these qualities that I've talked about today, this is the one. This is the one that counts more than any of the others. Make it your highest priority, because if you have faith in God, most of the others will fall into place and become easier to have through the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. I would encourage each of you to spend the day with your mother, if possible. And if that's not possible because of space and distance apart, or because your mom has passed, spend some time reflecting on the place your mother has played in your life. Share that with your kids. Share that with your husband. Remember what you have learned from her and what you learned through her example. And most of all, if possible, tell her the difference that she has made in your life. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious Father, we want to thank you today for the opportunity to gather and to worship. And the opportunity to gather and share about our mothers. The woman who gave us life. The woman who has guided us in so many ways. Father, just open our hearts to spend some time today sharing those times with our mother and sharing our feelings with her. But Lord, help us to thank you too that you have blessed us with mothers. You have blessed us with the people in our lives that have pushed us and pulled us and moved us closer to you because of the example they have set, because of the words they spoke of encouragement into our lives. Help us to see each other as you see us. Help us to reach out to those who are lost. And give us a mouth to praise you and encourage those around us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.